Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with a continuation on our series in Hebrews. This is chapter 2. We'll be covering verses 1 through 4. I'll first read those verses and then we'll go into the introduction. Starting in verse 1, we read, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." In Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4, the theme is that because Christ and the new covenant are so much greater and better than the old, we should give the more earnest heed to Christ and the new covenant, unless we should pass by it and neglect so great salvation, with the result that we shall not escape our just reward. For if disobedience to the old law brought in by angels received its just reward, how much more will disobedience to the new covenant brought in by Christ, who is so much greater than the angels, receive its just reward? This is the new covenant that was first spoken by Christ and was confirmed unto us by the men that heard Christ, God attesting to this new covenant by miraculous things working through them according to his will. Now let's move on to verse number 1. And read it and talk individually on each of these four verses. Once again, verse number 1 reads, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." In this verse, the first word, therefore, is actually the translation of two Greek words, dia tauta, that literally mean through this or because of this. So our verse reads, because of this, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But because of what should we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip? Why, this is referring back to chapter 1 of Hebrews, of course, wherein the theme is that Christ, who brought in the new covenant, is so much better and greater than the angels who brought in the old covenant, and therefore the new covenant is so much better than the old covenant. And it is because of the new covenant being so much better than the old that these Hebrew Christians should pay much more careful attention to the things they have heard about Christ and the new covenant. In fact, they should pay much greater attention to Christ and the things taught with respect to him, because he is so much greater than the old. He is the creator of the earth and the universe, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. He is God, and it was him, not the angels, to which Yahweh said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool," which makes him a king and ruler over this creation, which is far beyond anything that the angels who brought in the Old Covenant have ever been called. For, as we had learned, they are simply spirits who are servants of the elect. Therefore, we should take heed to the things that we have heard through Christ and his apostles, lest at any time we should let them slip and fall back into the old way of doing things that has actually been fulfilled and abolished in Christ, and by doing so, deny that our Savior and Lord has come to pay for all our sins and to set us free from bondage to the childish things that we once walked in and gave approval of, such as the types and shadows of the sacrifice of animals and the entire Levitical priesthood, as we shall see. Now, as was said previously, it is because of the superiority of the new to the old that we read. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, which are the things of the new covenant and of Christ. More literally, our verse reads, because of this, it is binding us more exceedingly to be heeding to the things heard, lest at any time we should pass by. The idea is that these Hebrew Christians need to start paying a lot more attention to the things that they heard through Christ when he was on earth, and then through those who heard him, lest at any time they should just pass by these things and choose to remain with the old that they were accustomed to. Now, are not many of us the same way? We get so accustomed to the way things are that it becomes extremely difficult to change from the old way to the new way. We are so resistant to change. And this is so true when it comes to changing our doctrines to more God-glorifying doctrines as well. For instance, we have found during Judgment Day, ever since May 21, 2011, that those who believe that Christ paid for sins at or before the foundation of the world, and who believe that Christ merely demonstrated what he had done before the foundation of the world when he was on the cross in 33 AD, that these dear people, unfortunately, are worshiping a false Christ. They are following another gospel, which is the going after strange flesh, and they are burning strange fire before the Lord. And you can click on the four links I give to get more details as to why that is. But even though these dear people are following a false gospel, and therefore an idol, there are many who are still not completely letting go of this doctrine because there are so many who seem to hold on to it, they think, and they don't want to be left out from the multitude of God's supposed people. So although they can see that it is not completely faithful to the Word of God, they are having a difficult time separating themselves from that which is false, similar to how these Hebrew Christians were finding it difficult to let go of their old beliefs and move on to the new and true. But what does Yahweh say? We read in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 14 through 18, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, Yahweh doesn't just want us to recognize the falsehood of the doctrine that teaches that the cross on earth in 33 AD was merely a demonstration, but he wants us to come out from their myths as well. We should not be continuing to support or listen to ministries that teach false gospels, which is one and the same with supporting idols. What this means is this. I will no longer listen to eBible Fellowship because they have chosen to stand in a false gospel, saying that the cross was merely a demonstration and that Christ actually existed before he existed in 7 BC in order to pay for sins before the foundation of the world instead of on the cross in 33 AD. It also means that I will not listen to those teachers of family radio who also espouse the demonstration gospel. Furthermore, it means that I will no longer support them financially, for we ought not to support idols. And the Christ that they follow isn't that. I mean, the Christ that they follow is exactly that, an idol. He is an idol of their own imagination who rose from the dead in their minds at some imaginary resurrection, they say, at or before the foundation of the world, which we know is not true. And you can click on the link, the demonstration gospel is a false gospel, to get all the details on this. Therefore, as we read in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 17 and 18, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What I am saying is this. You can't just continue to stand on the fence with respect to the demonstration gospel. You must choose one or the other, but if you do choose the demonstration gospel, you have chosen to worship an idol, because that Christ is not the Christ declared by the Bible. The Christ of the Bible did not exist as flesh until he was born in 7 BC. And when he came to earth, he came to pay for sins on the cross in 33 AD. He did not come to merely demonstrate that he had paid for sins before the foundation of the world. But what does the scripture say? It says in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, and that's at the cross according to this context, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to the context of this verse, Christ clearly paid for sins on earth at the cross. And isn't that why he came to earth in the first place? We read in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall, that is in the future on earth, save his people from their sins. This verse doesn't say that he already saved his people at or before the foundation of the world, and now he's coming to earth to merely demonstrate that. No, it says that he came to earth through Mary, and now he will, in the future, future tense, save his people from their sins. Without question, then, Christ came to this earth to pay for sins. He did not come to earth to demonstrate that he had already paid for sins. And, as our verse says, because of this, it is binding us more exceedingly to be heeding to the things heard, lest at any time we should pass by. Now, if you are still on the fence with this issue, you are encouraged to carefully study all of the following. I think there's about 10 links there that give you plenty enough information that you should be able to see that the demonstration gospel, those who believe that Christ came to earth only to demonstrate the gospel, to demonstrate what he did before the foundation of the world, is wrong. It's false. The scriptures are clear. Now let's move on to verse number 2 of chapter 2. Verse number 2 of chapter 2, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward," here, after telling us in verse 1 of chapter 2 that it is binding us more exceedingly to be heeding to the things heard by Christ and the new covenant, we are first told, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast," the word here translated steadfast means sure, trustworthy, firm, or solid, and the verb translated as was in was steadfast can be translated as became. Therefore, our verse reads, "For if the word spoken by angels," and we all know that the word angels can be translated messengers, "became steadfast," that is sure, trustworthy, firm. In other words, if the word spoken by messengers, that is angels, became steadfast, sure, trustworthy, firm, then this is telling us that the word, which is the old covenant, became steadfast, that is confirmed by showing itself to be true and sure. And we can translate the word steadfast as confirmed. Our verse now reads, "For if the word spoken by angels," that is messengers, "became confirmed," and how did the word spoken by angels become confirmed? We read, "And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." Actually, the phrase "and every transgression" is better translated as "even every transgression." So now we know how the word spoken by angels became confirmed. It was because even every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment. That is, our verse can now be translated, "For if the word spoken by angels became confirmed, even every transgression and disobedience received a just reward." A transgression, of course, is sin, and sin is a transgression of the law, as we read in 1 John 3:4. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So, in that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward means that every sin and disobedience to the law of the old covenant received a just recompense of reward, that is, it received what was its due punishment. Therefore, we are being told that if the word of the old covenant spoken by angels became confirmed, which it did, even every sin and disobedience to the law received a just reward, then how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which brings us to our next verse, verse number 3 of Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's focus on how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. The idea is that if the old covenant rewarded all disobedience with a just punishment, which it did, how much more will the new covenant, which is so much greater and better than the old? As our verse says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is Christ in the new covenant? That is, how will we be able to escape our due punishment, which is death, according to Romans 6:23, if we neglect believing in Christ and the new covenant? Therefore, It is binding on us more exceedingly to be heeding to the things heard, lest at any time we should pass by with the result that we be judged to death along with the rest of the world that rejects God, made flesh and sacrificed for our sins, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we read that the word of the new covenant first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. This is simply revealing to us that the new covenant was first brought in by the words of Christ himself, and it was confirmed unto these Hebrew Christians by them that heard Jesus talk, which would have been the apostles, for the most part, as well as some others who listened to Jesus teach. But for us, the new covenant would be the whole of the New Testament that we ought to pay careful attention to, for therein are written the words of Jesus, as well as the words of the apostles and some others who were eyewitnesses to everything that the Lord said and did. Moving on to verse number 4, and our last verse that we'll go over of Hebrews chapter 2, we read, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Here we find that not only was the word of the new covenant confirmed to the Hebrew Christians and to us, as well by those who heard Jesus speak, but it was confirmed by God himself, also bearing witness to them, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. We read of some of these signs and wonders and miracles in the book of Acts. When the gospel started to go out to the whole world for the first time, for instance, on Pentecost in 33 AD, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and Christ's disciples began to speak in all the different languages or tongues of the people who had gathered for Pentecost. Let's refresh ourselves with some of this information. We read in Acts 2, verses 1 through 13, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue or language, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What means this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. Another miracle when the Apostle Peter was used, another miracle mentioned in the book of Acts, a sign or wonder, was when Peter healed the lame beggar. This is recorded in Acts 3, verses 1 through 9. I'm just reading some of these so that we can kind of be refreshed in our spirit of how great a gospel this is, by the great signs and wonders that God sent along with the gospel of healings and speaking in different languages and so on and so forth, and great mighty miracles and wonders. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, according to Acts 3, verses 1 through 9, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Amazing some of the things God did. Again, we read of a sign and wonder in Acts 4, verses 29 through 32, which gives us a very deep sense that this gospel is great and so important and not to be neglected to the littlest amount. We read in Acts 4, verses 29 through 32, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And there's one more example of miracles or signs or wonders. We read in Acts 5, verses 1 through 16. "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Wow. What God did in the new covenant and what he is doing. Absolutely incredible. And why we should take grievous heed to his word, to his new covenant, which is superior to the old, much greater and holds much better promises. And we'll see this more and more as we go through the book of Hebrews. So let each of us be refreshed and motivated as a newborn babe, desiring the words of the new covenant, the New Testament, and growing in grace day by day. Anyway, so all these verses that I read show that the Lord worked signs and wonders through his apostles. And these signs and wonders were a confirmation to the truthfulness of Christ in the new covenant. The idea is that, therefore, we ought to pay the most careful attention to Christ and the new covenant, lest we happen to pass it by. And then, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now notice in our verse that God bears witness in three categories. The first category, both with signs and wonders. The second, and with diverse miracles. And the third, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Actually, all three of these categories relate to the same things, basically, but the Lord lists them in three different categories in order to emphasize that it was the purpose of Yahweh to confirm the new covenant by these things. And you can click on the link to see the meaning of the number three. But let's look at each category separately. First, God bears witness both with signs and wonders. Now, signs and wonders are what are normally associated in the Bible with the apostles. We read in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." The word here translated as sign in our verse, Semaiois, I'm trying to say it in the Greek, which is difficult, but the word is semaiois, means sign, mark, or token. And when that sign is a miracle, it can be translated as miracle or wonder. So we see how signs and wonders can refer to miracles, which brings us to our second category, diverse miracles. Actually, the word miracles here is a translation from the Greek word dunamis, which is normally translated as power. Nevertheless, it can at times be translated as miracle, as it is here, and even as wonder. So once again, we see how signs and wonders can refer to miracles, and miracles can refer to signs and wonders. Finally, our third category is gifts of the Holy Spirit. Actually, the word gifts in the phrase gifts of the Spirit is the word partitions or distributions of the Holy Spirit. Some of these partitions or distributions of the Holy Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, and we read through verses 4 through 11. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of languages or tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, because the distributions of the Holy Spirit are each supernatural gifts, for they are each a miracle in their own right, we can immediately see how they relate to our first two categories of signs and wonders. One, that is, signs and wonders, one, and diverse miracles, two. That is, even though God bears witness to the new covenant in three categories, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles, that is powers, and gifts, that is distributions of the Holy Spirit, all three categories are really one and the same, and the Lord is simply listing three categories to emphasize the purpose of God. Yes, it is the purpose of God that he bears witness to Christ at the new covenant by miraculous things, whether it is called a sign and a wonder, a miracle, or a partition of the Holy Spirit. All three things give reference to the miraculous power of God, but they also reveal that it is the purpose of God to testify to Christ in the new covenant by these things. Finally, we are told that God bearing witness to the new covenant by these distributions of the Holy Spirit in signs and wonders wrought by the apostles, in diverse miracles, and by gifts of the Spirit, are according to His own will. It is not according to our will that these things were manifest, but it was according to His will. He is in charge, and we are merely instruments for the Father's use. Indeed, may He have all the praise and the glory forevermore. Amen. In conclusion, we should carefully take heed to Christ and the new covenant because it is so much greater and better than the old covenant. That means we need to get out our Bibles and we need to read, we need to study, we need to work hard in dividing the word of truth. Because the new covenant is so much greater. This is because the old covenant was brought in by angels, but the new covenant was brought in by Christ Himself, who is so much greater than the angels. Furthermore, we should be heeding the new covenant unless we pass it by and miss so great salvation, but instead receive our just reward, which is death. We can trust the new covenant because it was first spoken by Christ Himself, and then it was confirmed to us by those who actually heard Him speak in person. God even bore witness to its validity by working miraculous things through those who heard Him. Now, to the true elect of Yahweh, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.